just started last Sunday praying the Psalms, but again, as I prayed, the Lord put a stop in my heart and said, you've been learning these prayers. Take some time to take those prayers across the street in my son's name, Jesus Christ. And so we learned in this culture that is so different that we are not in a Christian culture. We're not a post-Christian nation. We are a pre-Christian nation now that has no understanding of God or who Jesus or what the gospel's about. And so we equipped ourselves, learned how to do that. And that was pretty cool. And it means that as a church, our Lord is missional. And so we, if we're personally going to follow him, will be missional too. And I'll come back to that. So last Sunday, we started this series, Praying the Psalms. And so one of the things as we enter this coming church calendar year is we are wanting you to be able to learn and put into practice prayer. And the Psalms from the Bible is a prayer guide, instruction. It helps us know how we can pray. So you're like, I can't pray. Open it up to a psalm. Somebody's already been inspired on and will help you do exactly that. So as we practice these psalms, just in the simplest of terms, some of these psalms are individual psalms. And so we'll be showing you, and we'll be in Sunday learning how that particular author was inspired to write that poetry or songs. Psalms are songs. And they can be sung or they can be prayed to the Lord. And you will learn how to pray individually. But also, one of the greatest challenges of God's churches is corporate prayer. So we'll have these nights in the coming year wherein we will use one of the corporate psalms and meet during the weeknight and actually just pray it. And it will be so cool. So that's one of the things we're looking forward to this year. And speaking on that, as we learn to pray, if you've never prayed the psalms, and I shared how I had been many years in walking with God and didn't even know the psalms. And so if you look in your prayer guide, in your bulletin, there is something called Psalms of the Day chart. And so we're giving this to you because you can start October 1st. And if you want to, it's just a tool. We're not saying you need to. But if you are someone that says, I want to read all the Psalms, you can use this. And you start with day one of October. And on the right side, there's Psalms of the Day. And there's five Psalms, starting with Psalm 1, which is the, you know, corresponds with the first day of the week. But you can just quickly glance at those five psalms, Psalm 1, Psalm 31, Psalm 61, 91, 121, and say, which one connects with me? And you can pray that psalm that day. And then the next day, go to Psalm 2 or one of the other four psalms. And by the end of, you know, counting on there's normally 30 days in a month, you will have read 30 psalms. And if there's 31 days that week, you can read a portion of Psalm 119, which is super long. And you can end up going through all the psalms pretty quickly and get them in your heart and mind. And they have so blessed me in my own life, in my walk with God, because now as I come to places I want to celebrate and praise God, there's a psalm. When I come to places that I am just lost and need guidance, there's a psalm where there's psalms of lament when I struggle, and so it's really cool. So all that being said, you can use the Psalm of the Day chart as a tool, and there's more in the back if you would like that. Now, this is going to be like obvious, but what book of the Bible did Jesus Christ, the Son of God, quote the most from? Yes, it is Psalms, brother. I mean, you would think it would be Deuteronomy or something because he quoted other places in the Bible, but Jesus himself loved the Psalms and used them in his ministry. And so we're looking at the shortest psalm this morning, Psalm 117. And it's in just two verses, and it's brevity, it invites us to look deeper. Like I said, Luther wrote 36, 37 pages on it. We find in this psalm that it's potent and powerful in its invitation to the world and declaration of who God is. So let's read it, shall we? Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love towards us. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. If you could only write a psalm with two verses to capture what's important, you know it's condensed, it's powerful, and you add a little living water to it, and it becomes something wonderful to drink in. And so in this, there's the psalm itself reveals itself in three things it's speaking to us that are important in this condensed form. And the first is, highly praise the Lord, everyone. It's an invitation. So there's this call to, it says, praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all peoples. And that praise, hallelujah, is an invitation being sung or prayed in a congregation like this, the Jewish people. They're inviting the nations to praise the one true God, the Creator. He's the Creator of all nations, and it's an invitation. It's missional in its very heart. And so Israel needed that reminder that this isn't just about you. Like the church needs the reminder today. It's not just about us, but we have a call to invite everyone. You see, that word, nations, is also the same word in Hebrew for Gentiles. Nations meaning it's a people group outside of the geographic area of Israel. And so there's this invitation to these nations all over. This psalm is saying, Gentile nations, come worship this Yahweh with us. That word there is in capital letters, meaning, and that's the sacred word for God, the personal name of God, Yahweh. Come worship him with us. Come praise him. And so then it moves into extol him. And so it's not just enough to pray, but that word extol means praise him highly because he is so worthy of it. I love the clapping this morning. I love the praise was high this morning of who God is and what he's been doing in this church on so many different ways and the testimonies that were given and the ministries and the way God's using the funds of this church. It's like, yes, God, I praise you highly. It's not just, good going, God. We're extolling you, Lord. And then it says all people. So as nations talking about people groups geographically outside of your region, the word peoples means different ethnic groups. That's why this first point this morning is highly praise the Lord, everyone. There is no one left out that we are not making that invitation to. And we have different cultures and ethnic groups. And I just don't mean because they're from other countries, but we have different groups of people being formed with their own religions and their own thoughts and lifestyles and music. And it's like everyone, there's no one we are not inviting. Amen. So this is a missional psalm. And what they're wanting these foreigners to know, these different people groups, is that they are invited to be among God's people. That's what we are doing as a church, right? And they're telling them, this God is worth praising because we find forgiveness in him. And we find mercy. and there is only salvation through him. And we know Jesus became the fulfillment of that salvation, right? And so in singing Psalm 117, Israel was reminded that they had been called to him, not because they are special inherently in who they are, but because God has given them a call for the sake of the world. And you and I are daughters and sons of Abraham the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And we have a calling for the sake of the world, the neighbors in which God has put within the spheres of our lives. Mission, we learned in our Take It to the Street, means every part of a believer's life is seeking to join Jesus in his mission to help bring redemption to a lost soul. You heard a testimony, a powerful one of that this morning, to also bring restoration, because we all come to Christ out of focus and need to be brought in focus into the image of who he is. And you can find that from the beginnings of scriptures, Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3. We won't read that, but in the Abrahamic covenant, right there, God said at the very beginning that he would make a great nation from Abraham, and he would bless him. But he also said he would make him great so that you, Abraham, will be a blessing. Sometimes we are just, bless me, but I have to pause and ask myself, am I being a blessing? Oh, thanks, God. He's got that up here. And he says, literally, in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. Love God, love one another, and go do what? That's the vision. I wasn't creative in coming up with that vision. God was. It's his vision. This psalm, Paul actually quotes in Romans 15, verse 11. And he's speaking to the church in Rome. And he quotes that first verse we just read. And this church is made up in Rome of all kinds of people, Jewish and all different kinds of Gentiles. And he says in verse 11, as he's telling them how God is making them one, in church, we are one regardless of our backgrounds. And he says, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And then just working backwards, we read in verse 9, he says, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it was written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. David wrote that in his psalm. And he says, I will give testimony. That's our calling. That's part of taking it to the street. We learned how to give testimony to God so that new Gentiles might be brought into God's house. Amen. And working backwards one more time in verse chapter 15 of Romans, he says this, verses 5 and 7. He turns this into a prayer. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. That's our mission for the sake of others, right? How cool is that? So one of the other things we're looking at this year as we look forward is the different ways that New Crossing can support new work to the nations, to the other people groups. And so as Scott shared in the financial report, God has blessed us, and Josh is going to help the elders look at ways in which we can support new work that God's trying to do in new places. That sound okay? We try to live what we preach around here. So, what is everyone basing this praise on? And that brings me to the second point in verse 2. For his steadfast love prevails over us. There has to be a reason to praise God. And so if you could, if you could say, you could only tell me two things about God. You ever have one of those, tell me about God, and you're like, oh, man, where do I begin? This author picked the first thing to say is that in verse 2, for great is his steadfast love towards us. He starts with the steadfast love of God. And this joining together of people, regardless of their nationality, their culture, their ethnical differences, was made possible because of the love of the Father when he sent his Son Jesus to die for them and for us and to rise from the grave. This is one of our greatest praises. And that word, steadfast love, is one of my favorite words of the Old Testament, hesed. And it is a word, I've told you there's some words that can't be captured. You can look up five different translations and we'll see five of the Bible and we'll see five different ways they give this word hesed meaning. I love the ESV. We'll just focus on that. Steadfast, because there's love, but it's steadfast. And that word, when it says great is the steadfast love, it's not even enough to say this love is steadfast, but it's great. And that word is also translated prevail. And so that's why you could translate this verse, for the steadfast love of the Lord prevails over us. So on the back of your outline, you'll see, and this is another tool we're giving you, and it's also in your bulletin. So it's on the back of the outline, but also there's another one that has how to pray upward, inward, outward. And on you flip it, there's Lectio Divina. We're not going to talk about that, but you can use either side of that prayer sheet to pray the Psalms. I love that one of the parents in our church has been using Lectio Divina to pray, you know, with their teen, and they're enjoying it. But we're going to look at this, if we could get that back up, Scott. So when we look at this, and I did this yesterday with Psalm 117, I just began upward. Prayer is devotional. And there's three questions. What am I learning about God in this passage? What does this passage help me in? How does this passage help me enter his presence? And sometimes it's, what troubles my heart that I need to lament upwards? And so if you just start with a couple of those questions, I wanted to read for you just this one phrase, for great is his steadfast love, just to read out of my journal and try and capture this a little bit. Steadfast love. And as I was praying that, the Lord just put on my heart to write down other ways of expressing that, synonyms and, you know, adjectives to express that. And because you kind of got a sense of love, but what is steadfast love? Well, it's dedicated. It's relentless. It's intense. It's resolute. God's steadfast love is established. It's firm. It's not going anywhere. Steadfast love never fails. It's always persevering. It's reliable, stable, and a for sure thing. It's unfaltering, it's unmovable, it is wholehearted towards us. Have fun in your Psalms. There's great things to be found in those. Steadfast love, but also the other word it's translated is great. And so this love cannot be stopped, resisted, or defeated, but it cannot be hindered, diminished, limited, reduced. It is great. It is never lacking. It is never unsubstantial. It is weighty. It is big, enormous, vast, colossal, titanic. This love is immense, tremendous. This love is strong and powerful, irresistible. This love, should I even say, is excessive? But this love is not only steadfast, it prevails. Like I said, it cannot be stopped, resisted, or defeated. It proves to be superior in strength and power. It will succeed. It will overcome obstacles in my life. It will abound and reign and never fail me, according to 1 Corinthians 13:8. It wins, it conquers, it masters, it overrules those who would try and oppose you, Lord. This love prevails. It comes out on top. Your love prevails, Lord. It takes me places. It gets me where you want me to be. Amen. See how you can use that? And it doesn't that just charge up your heart on this love that God has? His steadfast love prevails over us. But it wasn't just the steadfast love that the psalmist wrote about, but the second thing he would want to share with us is that his faithfulness endures forever. That word faithfulness is also translated truth. Some translations have that. For his truth endures forever. But the thing about it is faithfulness and truth are just two sides of the same coin, because one cannot be faithful and be also a liar or tell falsehoods. Think of like a marriage, where a marriage that is strong is faithful in it to one another. This faithfulness endures forever into eternity. These two things are the very character of God, his steadfast love and his faithfulness and truth. We can count on them. Just briefly, again, to share on the faithfulness of God that endures forever. Your truth does not shift or change with time. Don't we need that in these times? Nor does it ever become obsolete. Your truth never falters. Your promises never fail. I can trust you always and forever. I can rely on you, for you are faithful. Take those words to heart, amen. And then that psalm closes where it started. Praise the Lord. Three times we see different words for praise. It began with praise. Hallelujah. But the closing praise gets a little more fullness to it. It is the word hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. That's who he is. And Paul himself, the last verse to read for you. I think Paul picks up on this theme of God's faithfulness that endures forever and his steadfast love that prevails. Listen to just a few words here. Because as I was praying, using this prayer guide to go through this, I was struck by, and especially the times in the ending of this chapter when it says, who will, who shall. There is oppositions that come against the love of God, right? And so picking up with verse 31, it says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, what? Who can be against us? Verse 33, I'm not going to read them all, but it begins, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Do you see this perseverance of the steadfast love that cannot be stopped? Verse 34, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us right now in the heavenlies. Does God's love prevail? Listen to verse 35. Again, who shall separate us? Do you catch that? It's like, what can stand against us? Who will condemn us? Who will charge us? What shall separate us from the love of God? Verse 35. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or swords? Verse 37 answers with a resounding no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We're overcomers because there's a love that prevails within us. Amen. And Paul goes on, but I wouldn't bore you with how he just goes on and on about this prevailing love. And so in this looking ahead season, when it comes to prayer, Karen brought to the church Sealed.Life Ministries, which is a nonprofit anti-trafficking network that is calling Christians to come together in worldwide prayer. And several of us joined in this commitment, which was we committed to 1 year to join people all over the world to pray for 1 minute. They said, spare 1 minute. And so the prayers were against human trafficking, and especially the children and their safety and their being rescued and the healing that they would need from a Father in heaven. And so some days in my testimony here on this were filled. My heart was deeply moved, and I was filled with passion as I prayed. But then there were other days, not so much, and it was just hard work and discipline. But what they'd given us was a one-minute prayer guide. And so on it were prayer points. And then also you could turn the page and find daily scriptures to focus on. And so this prayer guide really strengthened me in those harder days when I was finding I was not into it. You know, that what that means is sometimes we just don't have enough coffee and we're in a funk and we don't feel like it. But do they still need our prayers? Absolutely. And so from this, I was inspired. Oh, by the way, just to say in my testimony, my compassion grew for the children that were trafficked in different ways. And what was fascinating is I became very aware of how often I was reading in the news of these predators or these organizations here worldwide, and my awareness went up, and in that my heart grew closer to the Lord's heart on this issue. And I prayed, and we're not done yet, the year's not over, but I was praying, Lord, let our church have a way in which we can participate in this. I had no idea how that might happen. And this is brand new just within a couple weeks ago. The women's ministry team got invited and they to hear more on these things. And there's a ministry called Every Daughter, which is a group of women from Dane County churches who meet regularly to contact and offer assistance to women who are sexually exploited and trafficked in our community. And we will be partnering as a church to help with this. Now, God has also put on New Crossings Church heart in this prayer series and take it to the streets. Jesus said in Luke 10, chapter 2, he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And then in verse 2, he says, therefore what? Pray earnestly to the Lord of harvest to send out laborers. And so also in your program or bulletin and also on the back table, we put together our own one-minute prayer guide for the harvest. And we are inviting all of the members of the church to commit to 1 minute, spare 1 minute a day for 1 year and pray. Pray, and there's different topics that you can pray. There is daily focuses, Monday the harvest, Tuesday increased labors, Wednesday Jesus' love for the lost, with Bible verses on all these, Thursday training and new believers, Friday for the cedars of Lebanon that God will need to strengthen the church, Saturday for one another, Sunday God will restore and heal and save. And so here is our prayer guide, and use this, and we're asking, please join us. I'm adding, now I'm going to have to pray 2 minutes a day because I got sealed, and now I'm going to have to pray for this church. There's not enough minutes in the day. But no, we ask you to join us in that. How cool is that? So, as we pray, I want you to know, as I've been praying for this harvest this last year, I started early. As I prayed for that, God put on my heart to pray also for adults, younger adults, to know him, come into the community of his church, be blessed. And do you know, it wasn't long ago, we had like two sitting here on Sundays, and bless those two for hanging in there. And now you could literally look over and a whole row is filled with these young adults. So I want you to know that I want you to know that God hears our prayers. Pray, we can pray people into the kingdom of God, but we must pray. So that's just a testimony of how God has blessed my heart, because I love the young people so much. They're awesome. They're shining so brightly. You heard two of their testimonies this morning. So will you please stand as we close, as we read this psalm corporately together. Psalm 117, verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Let's shout that last three words out. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. So now we enter this really fun part of the